Alright, let's turn into our Bibles back to Philippians chapter 2. I have a little bit of cleanup work I need to do because I realized when I got home last Sunday and just kind of reviewing the message and everything like that, I realized I forgot to go through verse 23. I didn't even set up the outline that way. I just had a verse 21, 22 of Philippians chapter 2 and forgot verse 23. So I will do verse 23 as a way of introduction to what we need to see today as we continue through, and it's really not that big of a deal in a sense as far as what I missed because of what verse 23 says. It really kind of is a bridge from what we've seen the last couple of weeks when we were looking at the example of Timothy. Remember in chapter 2, we're looking at a vision for others. Chapter 1, it was a vision to serve. Chapter 2, we're looking at the overall theme of a vision for others. And we've seen different examples of that, starting with the Lord Jesus Christ and how, obviously, that he became man for us, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, rose again the third day, that we might, again, be able to have eternal life as we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Then we see the example of Paul himself and his desire to being able to want to come to the Philippians and all that he has done, that he understands that he needs to remain here instead of, you know, dying and going to heaven, but to remain to be able to help perfect that which is lacking in other people's faith, basically, and just to be with the Philippians to help them continue on. And then we've been looking at Timothy. Like I said, we did part one and part two of Timothy or Timotheus. And again, one of the things that Paul says about Timotheus is that he has no man that's like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He's wanting to send Timothy to the Philippians, again, to be able to help them out. Remember, Paul is in prison at this time. And so we looked at part one and part two of that these last several weeks. And now we're going to be looking at this guy named Epaphroditus. He's only mentioned really three times in Scripture, but it's all right here in the book of Philippians. And so we'll be looking at him, and we'll split it up, part one, part two as well, and looking at Epaphroditus. And this guy is absolutely incredible. When we think about having a vision for others, that is Epaphroditus, and we'll get a start on that. But let's look at I'm going to do verse 22 and verse 23 of Philippians chapter 2. It says, "But ye know the proof of him," speaking of Timothy or Timotheus, "that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." And this is something that we're going to really hit upon in dealing today about dealing with ministry, about serving, and it's about how all of us as believers in Christ need to serve the Lord, again, by serving others. And then in verse 23, it says, "Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it go with me." And again, he was in chapter 1, you know, not knowing whether he was going to die or continue to remain, how he was going to remain in prison, when he was going to be released. I mean, those are things that Paul wasn't certain of as far as him being and what time he's going to be released, because he wants to come to the Philippians as well, which we will see today. So that's verse 23 that I, again, missed to as far as talking about last week, but thought I'd catch up. And that, again, gives us a segue into looking at what we're going to see today. Let me read the verses. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see. So today, starting in verse 24, it says, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that minister to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." So we'll look at verses 24 and 25 as dealing with being able to minister, to be able to serve, and then God's mercy and just dealing with that relationship, verses 26 and 27, as God dealing with Epaphroditus. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see this morning. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and preach for the day. I thank you that we are back and just every Sunday regularly having our services here in our church building. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. We continue to pray that you would be with our country, Lord, that we can be in health, that we can be in safety, and there's a lot that is going on, as we know, a lot to be prayed about and for. And Lord, we do that as believers in Christ. We pray for our government. We pray that you give them wisdom to make the right decisions, Lord, and whether they are saved or whether they are lost. I pray that they would make right decisions based off of your word, whether they even realize it or not. However, because we know that your word is true and it is what is good for all of us, including our government. You know, that is something that you have ordained and instituted, is to have a government and dealing with the peoples. And that anarchy is not anything that anybody would really truly want to live in, Lord. So we pray for our government, we pray for our people, we pray for our families. We know we have some that are out. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, in their travels and just as well those who are still battling as far as health is concerned, Lord. We just pray that you be with them. Lord, help us to focus in on your word today. Lord, help us to understand what it is to labor, to minister. Help us to understand biblical relationships and really what you've designed the church to be able to do. I think that is so severely lost today. And because people, to be honest, we don't read your word like we need to. We don't study your word like we need to. Your word has not changed. It is true. And just because the circumstances are ever-changing and different in the world that we live in, your word is constant and is true. And it's by your word that we need to live our lives, that we're going to be able to have lives that are full of joy and really have success in your eyes. So, Lord, I pray that you help us understand this today. We need it. We need it, Lord. And again, get me out of the way, and that you would just take what you have laid on my heart and be able to share it clearly and effectively. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. In Philippians chapter 2, again, let's pick it up in verse 24. It says, "But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." In other words, Paul was desirous to be able to go to the Philippians to continue to be able to minister to him. But what I want to point out is something that we've already seen, is dealing with Paul and his trust in the Lord. Not trust in government, not trust in himself, not trust in somebody or something, but trust in the Lord. We saw that if you go back to verse 19 when he was talking about Timothy. All right, in verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Now remember, we talked about an underlying situation here as far as the Philippians, to where it's a great church, and it's a church that was going through some persecution. They were going through some troubles. We saw that even at the end of chapter 1, where Paul talked about it's given unto us to go through some afflictions as believers in Christ. That is something that we can expect if we are standing on truth in this world that is against God, and there is a real Satan that's out there fighting against God. We're going to go through some things. And so Paul trusted in the Lord that he could shortly send Timotheus or Timothy to the Philippians to help them, to comfort them in their faith. But we also see that Paul is trusting in the Lord that he himself would shortly be able to come. Not a long extended period of time. He knows the importance of being with people face to face, to be able to minister the truth to them, to have that common bond in Christ, to be able to edify one another. And so it was important for that to happen. I think we can understand that. I realize, and I may have mentioned this last week, I realized a difference in my attitude a couple of weeks ago. And what it came back to was this. We had fellowship together. After a couple of months of being away from each other, it was good to have fellowship, to see each other face to face. We need that as human beings. We need, that's how the body of Christ, the church, is designed, that we are working together. And so Paul wanted to, he trusted the Lord that that would take place soon. And that is something that we need today. I mean, it's easy, it's simple to understand, and it's a verse that we all know, as far as Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You don't have to worry about, you can turn there, you don't have to worry about turning there if you haven't memorized, whatever. But talk about trusting the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on to thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If there's anything we always need, not just in times of crisis, not just in times, because with 2020 the way it's going, we've seen all kinds of things on Facebook. Can we just start this year over again? You know, just talk about it being a video game. Just take out the cartridge, blow one, and start all over again. Maybe, you know, be better. I mean, just all kinds of things. I mean, this year has been something else, all right? And who knows what's in store? The Lord knows. So what we need to do as believers in Christ is to continue to trust in him, not to lean on our own understanding. Our own understanding is a lot of times going to be worthless, obviously. And it's like we need to trust the Lord in his direction. And that's what you see Paul continually do. Remember, he is in prison, all right? He's in prison for preaching Christ. He had Jews that wanted to kill him because he was preaching Christ. He had all kinds of bad circumstances that was going on. But what was Paul doing? Trusting in the Lord. That's something that is universal throughout the whole Bible, throughout, doesn't matter what time period we're living in, that is something that we all need to do no matter what, is trust in him. We continue on in verse 25, it says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." Now, honestly, there's a lot in verse 25, and really it's the crux of the message that we're looking at and talking about ministering, or to serve. Epaphroditus, not mentioned that much, obviously, in Scripture at all. Everything that we're going to know about Epaphroditus is right here in the book of Philippians. All right, we'll cover it this week. We'll cover it next week, God willing. And then if we, the Lord hasn't taken us out of this crazy world, by the time we get to chapter 4, we'll see him one more time. But we will use chapter 4 as a cross-reference even today. And so there's not much written about Epaphroditus at all. But what is written is absolutely incredible. You talk about somebody that is focused on others' needs at the detriment of himself and even his own health, it's Epaphroditus. And what I want you to notice here in verse 25, first of all, it says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus as my brother." Obviously, he's in Christ. I mean, the true family that we have. All right? And it says, "and companion in labor." I want you to understand and focus on that just for a second, talking about companion in labor. Because when we talk about true biblical Christianity, there's a work that we are commanded to do. There is a work that God has for us, and we talk about that. I want you to just turn to Ephesians real quick. Just turn back to the book of Ephesians. And you guys are familiar with this reference. I wasn't planning on going to this one specifically, but I think I need to right now just to for you to understand that we have a work to do, labor to do. There's more to Christianity than accepting Christ as your Savior and coming to church and sitting and listening to a message. I'm thankful that you guys are here listening to my ranting and ravings and so forth. Hopefully I gave you something out of the Word of God that's going to help you through the week. But there's more to Christianity than that. There is a labor, there's a work, there's a job, there's something that God has for us to accomplish in this time and during this time. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we're not saved by works, but we are saved to be able to do a work. And in chapter 2 verse 10 it says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has already laid out, ordained, or appointed good works for us to do in this world at this time. And we should walk in those things. He created us in Christ Jesus to do those things. Now over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, which starts dealing with what the purpose of the body of Christ and the church is all about, simple little verse in verse 12. Right, really, to get the whole context, you'd read down through verse 16. I'm not going to take the time to do that right now, but I just want you to notice what it says in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." There's labor. There is work involved. Again, God did not design Christianity just to be where you just get saved and that's it. Get saved and just, you know, listen to some message, go to church or whatever. Now, there is a job that needs to be done. And sometimes that work is hard work. Right? That work is gonna it's gonna take a toll. That work is gonna be a battle. That's what we're gonna talk about here in a little bit in getting into this. Right? It is something that it is designed for us not to do alone, but together. In fact, it was great yesterday, you know, taking advantage of the large item pickup in Armand. There's some things that we needed to clean out of this church. I'm sure as you saw when you came up that we got subbed by the road ready to get out of here. And it was nice to be able to do that. It would take forever if I had to do it by myself. Right? But it's us coming together and being able to do that together. I mean, we were done within an hour. Right, and it was nice to be able to get that stuff out and getting the things cleaned up in the church that we needed to do. It was awesome. It was us laboring and working together. And again, all that is physical stuff that we were doing. But it's the same thing that we need to do spiritually, that we spiritually need to work together as a body of Christ, as a group of believers, to be able to get the truth of the Word of God out in this world. And we desperately need to do that at this time. Let's go back to Philippians. Let's pick up something else again. Philippians chapter 2, again in verse 25. It says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier." Now before we discuss this, I want you to turn over to the book of Philemon. It's a few pages over to the right, right before you get to the book of Hebrews. It's a small one-chapter book of Philemon. And I want you to look at the first couple of verses. As Paul is talking about Epaphroditus, he is a brother, a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier. Now, it's interesting that the word fellow is in front of those two things because we talk about fellowship. Right? Fellowship goes far beyond than what a lot of times we think in the church world, the Christianity world.
You know, we have the fellowship hall. We all think about that, and that's a place where food. Fellowship, and a lot of times in churches equates to, oh, that's food. And last I checked in my Bible, that's not the situation. It's not saying that it can't be, but we're talking about working together for the glory of God. That's why Epaphroditus was a fellow laborer. When you have true biblical fellowship, you're laboring together in the Word. Fellow soldier. Well, you see the same thing with Philemon. Philemon, in verse 1 and 2, it says this, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and, again, same with him, fellow laborer. It says, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Being a fellow soldier. Not just understanding a fellow laborer and working in the ministry and working together. Again, has nothing to do with going to a Bible college or a seminary and being able to, you know, be a missionary somewhere, to be a pastor somewhere. You know, that's what we generally think about when we talk about ministers and ministry. No, every believer in Christ is to minister the Word of God. Every believer in Christ is supposed to be responsible for preaching or proclaiming and teaching the Word of God. It doesn't mean that you just do it in front at a pulpit in front of a church. It's the person at work. It's the person in your family. It's the person in your neighborhood that God gives you an open door and opportunity to minister the truth of the Word of God, that you're focused on their spiritual needs, and that we work together. You see, the church and our time right now is here to help edify one another. What we're going to do later, we will have some food, but the real spiritual food that is important today is when we share what God is doing in our lives and what He has shown you in the Word of God to help edify everyone. That is what biblical Christianity is all about. And we are so far gone from that in the society today, it's unfortunate. A lot of times we just think church is a place, get entertained, you know, you get a little bit of Bible and we pray and then we go on and your life is no different. God has a job for us to do and it is going to be a warfare in doing it. That's why we see Epaphroditus, Paul calls him fellow soldier. That's why Paul says in dealing with Philemon and talking about those that are mentioned there that they are a fellow soldier. You know, we're talking about relationships here. As I said so many times, and it's just getting more and more our norm, unfortunately, is that we live our lives so much without contact, physical human contact with people. I'm not saying that, I am thankful for the technology when we were complying with this stay-at-home order, to still be able to get the truth of the gospel out via my phone. Praise God for that. But that is not, and it should never be the norm. I'm thankful for a couple of weeks ago, I spent time for prayer with a few other guys, a guy that I used to work with and used to be my boss. And on a Zoom call. And it was great to be able to do that and be able to see them and so forth. But I'll tell you something. It was something that was so strange and don't all gas. But before Trish and I went to North Carolina for a vacation, I met one of the ladies that we were going to meet that moved out there, is a friend of ours that from Pittsburgh State University. She's a graduated nursing student, and she's got her first job out there. And it's like I had family out in North Carolina, so we went there. But her boyfriend had some things to be able to give to her, and we were on there. So I met him at Dillon's and talked to him real quickly, you know what? And we shook hands. It was the first handshake I had in over 2 months. And it was weird that I thought it was weird for me to be shaking his hand. Because what has we been here? And again, I'm not saying that we don't need to be careful and so forth and so on and all that. But it should not be that way. Besides my wife, when we went out to North Carolina, we gave a hug. Probably the first hug I've had from somebody in a while. Here's my point. And why are we talking about this and fellow soldiers? Well, you know, who would it be that would want us to not have human physical contact with somebody. Who would that be? The thief that cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Why is it that suicide rate is going up? Now, there's always people, unfortunately, that are in depression and a place where they're coming where they think the answer is ending their life. And it's a tragic situation. Trust me, I know I've dealt with a lot being in the police and law enforcement. But it's skyrocketing going up. I'll tell you something else. You know the leading causing of death of police? Suicide. Because of everything that they go through. Who wants people to kill themselves? Who wants people to not have human contact? Who doesn't want people to get together and all of them and share the truth of the Word of God? Who's the one that wants to do that? Satan! It's a true, real battle. It's a warfare. Who's the one that wants people just to stay at home? Who's the one that, Walmart can be open, but churches need to be closed? Who wants that? Satan. Who's the one that wants, you know what? We can't open up our government and people to have jobs and make a living, but it's okay to go out and riot? It's amazing how coronavirus won't affect anybody rioting.
Oh, John, are you being political? Saying this, maybe Facebook will, all of a sudden this message won't be online after today. I don't know.
Chris and I were talking the other day, and I made the statement. We talk about the media. We talk about everything you hear, TV, radio, and we call it the airwaves, right? Over the airwaves, what do you hear? The media. It's amazing how many people just, whatever they hear in the media, that's what they go with it, and they don't stop to think, to read, and get the facts. I make the statement. That's another reason why it's interesting that Satan is called what? The prince and the power of the what? Air.
Ephesians chapter 2. It's not 1 Charles Boyce. It's Ephesians chapter 2. Right? Prince and the power of the air. Right?
That is the real warfare and battle that is raging right now. It's a time for us Christians to stand up and speak the truth. I'm not talking about beating people over the head with the Bible. But let's get back to the Word of God and what it says. The Bible says that there's going to be perilous times are going to come in these last days. Perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's why when Paul talked about Epaphroditus being a fellow soldier working together. Some of the most incredible relationships I've had with believers in Christ is when we have gone through the thick of it in ministry. That was Epaphroditus.
You go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 again. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier. Man, I almost forgot a reference. I need you to see this. I can't go over this. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1 and read down through verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It sounds warfare. Talking about standing on truth and ministering the truth to others, you're in the army, all right. Maybe I shouldn't. We always say the Christian army, and we've got the Marines, we've got the Navy, we got Coast Guard, and now we got Space Force. But we're in a battle. All right? And notice what Paul tells Timothy. In chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Like we sung the song, "Wonderful Grace of Jesus." We need to be strong in God's grace. And he goes on and says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This is not a suggestion. It's a command. It's something that Paul is telling Timothy. It's the Word of God, and it's not just for the pastor. I mean, God wants faithful people to be able to teach others. You're teaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God. If there's ever a time in our life right now, we need to be teaching the Word of God. That's why I'm so adamant about getting the Word of God out in this time. I try to use every avenue that I have to be able to do that. To encourage you to be able to do that. But if you do that, notice verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldier! No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. Unfortunately, there's too many Christians that are entangled in the affairs of this life. And they're forgetting about the true warfare that is going on. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff that is going on in our country. There is a lot. And unfortunately, a lot of times, we take our eye off the real battle that is going on. Just this morning, Karen. Now, I was to listen to the media. Black Lives Matter. Cops are doing that, which all cops are bad. Well, I'm in law enforcement. And if you haven't noticed, I'm black. And it's like, I don't know if I need to arrest myself sometimes. I'm going to listen to the media. I should hate myself. Why does it have to be one or the other? There are cops that have nothing to do with what's going on. There's plenty of good cops that are out there. By far. Why is it we're seeing officers injured and dying? And the media doesn't really care about that because it's the wrong narrative. Is it the media's fault? Who's really to blame? Who really wants things divided? Who really wants to think that it was just a big riot and uproar and chaos all over the place? Who is that? It's Satan. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Why is it that it has to be, whether it's black or white, or whether it's you know, all this other stuff? I mean, I was joking with one of my friends, one of my agents, was like, you know what, I'm going to get a black house instead of a white house, and in front of the black house in the street, I'm going to put down White Lives Matter. Absolutely opposite of everything that we're here. Just joking around. Now, if I put something like that on Facebook, I guess I just said it on Facebook, I might have everybody else. Oh, Charles Boyce, you're this and that, blah, 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 blah. Here's the deal, folks. It's not black, white, yellow, or anything like that. It's not police. It's a matter of what is right and what is wrong. The cops that do things that are wrong get punished. If any good cop has that same stance, it doesn't mean let's go kill everybody else, all the other cops. It's not black or white. It's not race. It's a matter of what's right and what's wrong. And how do we know what's right and what's wrong? This. It's that simple. But the division that there needs to be is those who are going to stand what is right and what is just and that which is wrong. And this is what tells us what is right and wrong. Our laws of our land are based on what? Right here. Right here. But who's the one that wants everything divided? And unfortunately, I'm going to tell you this. How many people really read Bible? There's going to be a reason why when the Antichrist comes, and again, the church, and we talk about this, of course, in the Bible for the next week if you want, the Word of God is very clear. He's laying out that, again, I don't think we're going through the tribulation but when that time period comes in the tribulation period, okay, how can people just follow some guy that's the Antichrist? How many people are following what's going on right now just because they hear or see it on TV without ever checking out the facts? How many times do they just repeat things that are just wrong? Oh, I know people are not going to like me for this, but hands up, don't shoot. Even black witnesses in that said that never happened. But yet, what do you hear? I mean, we have t-shirts and everything. Hands up, don't shoot. False, totally false narrative. There's no denying what this officer did in dealing with George Floyd. No, right there. Shouldn't have happened. We'll all hopefully get justice. But again, it comes back to what's right and what's wrong. People don't stop to read the facts. That's why I will net you. If I ever said, you guys, you need to believe it because I said it, leave this church, go somewhere else. What does the Word of God say? Take
time to read the facts and the truth. Because we are in a spiritual warfare. And unfortunately, a lot of times we get our eyes off of what's really going on
because we just see something on TV. Take the time to read. Find out the facts. Make a decision. And not just follow somebody because that's the side that you're lying with. That's true both liberal and conservative. Look at the facts. Just don't agree with something because they're on your side or that's the side that you're on. Be on the side of the truth. What does the Word say? What are the facts? Alright? Alright, enough of that. I need to move on. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. It says a lot in verse 25. I need to try to continue on. We'll be here all day. In verse 25 it says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier. Man, we're in warfare. But it says, but your messenger. Your messenger. Epaphroditus was a messenger to the Philippians. God used him to get the message of the truth of the Word of God to them. I want you to look at just one reference here back in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 13. I preached a message, I think, on this. It's been some time. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's an incredible verse here. I think we can all relate, especially since, obviously, in Kansas, we went from wintertime to straight heat of summer. anyhow, but notice what it says here in verse 13. Proverbs 25 and verse 13, talking about being a messenger. It says this, as the cold of snow in a time of harvest. You know harvest, it's going to be hot out there. So you imagine the coldness of snow, what that kind of relief and refreshing would be. It says this, as the cold of snow in a time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. This is somebody that those that send this messenger, that they are refreshed because they know that the message that they are sending through him or her was going to do it. They're going to be faithful to give that message out. It refreshed the souls of their masters. Now again, our master is God the Father. Alright? And he has a message for us to give to this world. And can we say today, do we know today that God in heaven, his soul, he is refreshed because we're faithful to deliver the message he's given us? That's for every believer. Epaphroditus, I mean, again, another thing that Paul was commending him on because he was a faithful messenger. All right? And that's what God desires for us. That's why it's my job as a pastor to do everything I can to try to help you to learn and grow in the Word of God so that you can take the truth of the Word of God, not what Charles Boyce says, not Charles Boyce's opinion, but the truth of the Word of God, and to be able to share it with others. That God would be refreshed in what you're doing. A number of places in the Bible talk about pleasing God. We spend time talking about that. What actually pleases God? And it's like, don't we want to do the things that please God? Don't we want to do the things that refresh God? Because, again, we're faithful to do what He's asked us to do. We're not responsible whether somebody believes or not. God's not going to reward us or not reward us based on how many people we led to Christ. That's not our thing. That's not our job in the first place. God is the one that brings people to repentance. He just wants to use us as a messenger. To be able to say, hey, thus saith the Lord. Here's what the Word of God says. And to do it in a way that people will either accept or reject the message, not doing it in a way where they accept or reject based on how we deliver that message. All right? I mean, it's kind of like, you know what? If you don't have Jesus Christ as your first Lord and Savior, you're going to die and go to hell! You think somebody's going to listen to me like that? Our God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's your decision. It's like, let me show you what the Word of God says. I'm here for you. Got any questions? Right? You need anything? I'm more than happy to show you anything in the Word of God. But it's a decision that you need to make. Right? That's between you and God. I'm here to help you.
You make that decision, I'll do everything I can to help you to grow. Right?
That's what we're talking about. And as I say so many times, don't think that you have to know everything about the Word of God, because you're not. I don't know everything. I don't even come close to knowing everything about the Word of God. Never will. Don't let Satan put that in your mind and say there's no way that God can ever use you. You don't know anything about the Bible. If you know enough to God saved, that means you know enough to be able to share that with somebody else. Trusting God to work through you. All right? I've got to continue on to finish up. Oh, man. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 25 again, it says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." Right? Not even needs. We'll talk about that in Philippians chapter 4, as far as the difference between needs and wants. But this is something, again, Epaphroditus talking about wanting to help others and serve others. I mean, he was serving Paul by ministering to his wants. Remember, Paul's in prison. And prison then was not like prison now. Prison now, you get your weightlifting in, get your 3 square meals, you can get a college education on Canada. I mean, geez, I mean, there's a lot you'd be able to do. I mean, there's people like, hey, send me to jail. I will commit a crime if I'm going to jail, but then I know I'm going to get my... One time in Canada, we're taking a prisoner out, and it's like before, it's like, well, do I get my McDonald's? Because in Canada, where we're Halton Regional Police Service, is like, if you're taking him out in the morning time, he's like, he wanted his breakfast. And we would literally, no joke, go to a drive-thru, get him his meal, so he can eat it on the way out to jail. Paul didn't have that. If Paul wanted food, somebody had to bring it to him. Whatever needs that Paul was told, he needed somebody to bring him something. We saw that in 2 Timothy chapter 4 a couple of years ago, when we were preaching through 2 Timothy. And so Epaphroditus, he was helping by serving Paul and ministering to his wants. If you look over in Philippians chapter 4, just down to verse 18 real quick, the only other time we see Epaphroditus mentioned. Philippians 4:18, it says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Again, we'll deal with the aspect of that when we get there, Lord willing, by the end of this year. But you see Epaphroditus, I mean, he helped the Philippians, and through Epaphroditus, I mean, helped serve Paul. Helped him with the things that he needed in prison. He was serving others. Then you go back to Philippians chapter 2, and let's look up the last point for our mercy and see what's going on here. Verse 26. It says, "For he, Epaphroditus, longed after you all," the Philippians, "and was full of heaviness because that ye have heard that he had been sick." Now think about that. He longed after them. We'll see that at the beginning of chapter 4 in Philippians, where Paul longed to spend time with the Philippians. Again, that importance of that human connection, that relationship, that fellowship that is so important, longing to be able to be with you. I mean, it was great, like Wednesday. It was just nice to, it's the first Wednesday of this last week to where we had our Wednesday service again, and it was just great just catching up with each other and things that were going on before we spent some time in a word together. I mean, it was longing to have that. Well, notice Epaphroditus here. Look at this again. Verse 26. "For he, Epaphroditus, longed after you all, Philippians, and was full of heaviness," Epaphroditus was full of heaviness, "because that ye, Philippians, had heard that he, Epaphroditus, had been sick." Instead of like, woe is me, instead of like, Philippians, don't you care that I am sick? Epaphroditus was full of heaviness because he was upset that they heard that he is sick and the emotional strain that caused them. Because obviously the Philippians loved Epaphroditus. They were saying, Epaphroditus is one of their faithful messengers. And so they were concerned with him being sick, and next week we'll see how sick he was because he almost died. And instead of being focused on his suffering, he's longing for the Philippians and has a heavy heart because of what that news caused them. You talk about somebody who is focused on and having a vision of serving others, it's Epaphroditus. He's not concerned about his own self. He's concerned about being a faithful messenger and doing everything he can to minister and to serve others.
As I talked about last week and how selfish we are and how selfish this world is, if there's ever a time we need to understand and follow the example of an Epaphroditus, it is now.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 26 to verse 27. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh or near unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Two things and we'll be done. Verse 27, indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. It's almost like he should have died. You look at this, Epaphroditus, whatever happened, he should have died. Without God's intervention, he probably would be dead at this point. That's how sick he was. But Paul says that God had mercy on him. And we thank God for God's mercy. In the book of Lamentations, if you go back to the Old Testament, you have the book of Jeremiah, one of the major prophets. The next book after that is the book of Lamentations that, again, God uses Jeremiah to write that book as well. The book of Lamentations is a 5-chapter book. I want you to look into chapter 3. So, Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to look at verses 22 and 23. We've looked at these verses before, but just to kind of remind you. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23, it says this: It is of the Lord's mercies, plural, that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Alright? God, every day you wake up, God has fresh new batch of mercy for you. We all have the allotted mercy that we need to make it through every day. No matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, no matter what happens, there is God's mercy there for us. And Paul talks about again how that God had mercy on Epaphroditus. Should have died. But God had mercy. And not only Epaphroditus, but Paul says on him also. He talked about the incredible relationship that Paul had with Epaphroditus. You go back to Philippians chapter 2 and again verse 27. It says, For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Their relationship was so close and so important, how they labored together and how they were fellow soldiers and being able to share the truth of the Word of God. If Epaphroditus would have died, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow. It would have hurt him. One more reference. And it's interesting that he says this, because if you go over to 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, down in verse 13, Paul is talking to the Thessalonians about dealing with your loved ones who have died in Christ. It's an incredible chapter. It deals with the rapture of the church, resurrection. And Paul says this, part of the comfort that as believers in Christ we have when our loved ones in Christ die. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says this, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or those who have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now Paul says that if Epaphroditus, if God didn't have mercy on Epaphroditus and on him, that he would have had sorrow upon sorrow at the death of Epaphroditus. Incredible relationship that they had. But even in that, it's not the sorrow of the world. Because when a lost person dies, we know what the Bible says, they go to hell. I'm not going to sugarcoat it or anything like that. There's not three places. There's two. In our dispensation, the time that we live in the dispensation of grace, if you die with Christ, you're believers in Christ, you're in heaven. If you did not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, doesn't matter how spiritual you are, doesn't matter what religion that you follow, without Christ, you're in hell. We don't want to talk about that. There's some religions that, we don't believe in hell anymore.
don't want to offend anybody. I would be not doing my job as a pastor.
As believers in Christ,
we would not be doing our job as Christians if we don't speak the truth. But we don't want anybody to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But the way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ and Him alone.
But for those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior and we have loved ones that die in Christ, we don't. There's sorrow. Yes, there's sorrow.
And honestly, Paul would have had sorrow upon sorrow, as he says, if Epaphroditus would have died at that point in time.
But we still wouldn't have the sorrow of those who are without Christ,
because they will never see Him again. My first stint in working in policing
was a volunteer in Canada at a victim service unit. Both Trish and I did that. And we worked with victims of crime and so forth, but I was also on call where I did death notification.
It was something that I did for 5 years, 24/7, on an average. I was probably called out at least twice a month. Sometimes I was called out twice in a day. Sometimes with circumstances where I notified more than just my family. I remember one of my first notifications, is actually my second one that I actually ever had to do, but it was my first one on my own. And it's like I get a call, it's like at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's going to a business owner that I had just graced his business, in a sense, earlier that week. He owned a computer supply company, and I needed to get some ink for my printer, and we talked and so forth and so on. And then Friday or early Saturday morning, here I am with the police, knocking on his door, having to tell him that a 17-year-old son died in a car accident. And I had to take him and my vehicle that I had, a police vehicle, and take him down to the hospital, to the morgue, to do an identification of their son. That was the longest car trip I ever had, longest walk back to the morgue that I ever had, and I had some familiarity with this family, and there was no indication that the parents were saved or their son was saved. And having to take them in there to identify a body, you know, and deal with them and drive them back and so forth and so on. Horrendous. And that was the thought that was in my mind. What sorrow this must be. And I can't tell you how many death notifications I've done through the years. And all.
And it's tough. Some tough circumstances. But as believers in Christ, as families that they have legitimately accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, yeah, we're going to have sorrow. And it can be sorrow upon sorrow, even like what Paul talks about with Epaphroditus.
But the hope that we have, according to the facts and the truth of the Word of God, we will see them again. And that's why the end of 1 Thessalonians 14 it talks about in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm telling you, as believers in Christ, the strongest, most incredible relationships you will ever have are your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that you have labored together with, that you have battled together with, and getting the truth of the Word of God out. Those kind of relationships will stick with you forever and obviously for eternity. And that's what we're talking about. And if there's ever a time in the world, in our country, that we need to understand things like this and what we're seeing in the book of Philippians, it is now. It is now. The world needs to see that there is light in the midst of all this darkness.
It's not about white, black, yellow, blue. It's about truth. Standing on truth. Right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you've shown us in the Word. There's a lot. There's a lot, and there's a lot that, again, I want to be able to always try to make it current. Not trying to be political, not trying to be divisive or anything like that. I just want to be a faithful messenger. Lord, I want us as a church, Faith Bible Church, that we truly walk by faith and not by sight. That we understand what the truth of your word says and to be able to try to be a people that we can share this truth with others, that people would want and desire for us to tell them and show them what the Word of God says. Lord, help us to take these truths and make it a part of our life. Not just what I say or not my opinion, but what your word says, Lord. Help us to be a faithful messenger. Help us to be like an Epaphroditus, that we're focused on serving others and not just serving ourselves. That's all in Jesus' name. Amen.